Today's shiur is Masechta Kedushin Daf Ayin. We will begin on Daf Ayin Amud Aleph on the top line, Geri v'Charuri. Mishnah taught us, and the Mishnah listed all of the different categories of Yuchsin that arrived in Eretz Yisrael. The Mishnah listed Geri v'Charuri. Menolon, how do we know that they traveled, joined them in their entering Eretz Yisrael? Amr of Chizad of Akra. The pasuk says, "V'kol ha'nivdim tumas goyei ha'aretz aleihem." So, as the mefarshim explained, "V'kol," anybody, which represents both geirim who separated themselves from being goyim, and avadim who became freed. Others say, not from the word "v'kol ha'nivdim," but we learn from goyei ha'aretz, all types of goyim. Mamzeri, how do we know the mamzerim came to Eretz Yisrael? Menolan. The pasuk says, so the pasuk calls Tuvia an Eved Hamoini. Iksiv ki Rabin be Yehuda bali Shvua ki Chosan hu Lishchanya ben Arach. Tuvia was the son-in-law of Shchanya ben Arach, v'Yichoychan benoi, and Shchanya ben Arach's daughter, and Tuvia, who were husband and wife, had a son. Yichoychanon, Lokach as Bas Meshulam ben Barachia. So we have Yichoychanon, whose father-in-law is an Eved, marrying a Jewish girl, Lokach as Bas Meshulam ben Barachia. And as the pasuk goes on to say, these were the individuals who tried to convince Kairish, who had allowed them to build the second base of Mikdash, to rescind his permission. And indeed, for 18 years, there was a break where they weren't building the base of Mikdash. So the pasuk clearly indicates that we had Yechaychanan marrying this Jewish girl. And the Gemara says, our Mishnah holds, if an Eved has relations with a Bas Yisrael, Avlad Mamzer. So their son, who was part of the group who was in Eretz Yisrael, was a Mamzer. So we have Mamzerim there. Ask the Gemara, if we follow the opinion that we discussed, that Eved Kachav Ma'ivir Habor Bas Yisrael Havlad Mamzer, we could understand. El Lamandom Havlad Kosher, which is actually the Halacha, Ma'ikal Meimer. And as Mefarshim say, because even if we paskin that Eved Kachav Ma'ivir Habor Bas Yisrael, the Vlad is a pogum, he's not a Mamzer. Furthermore, who said that they had children, Yechaychanon, with this woman. Maybe, and even if Yechaychanon had children, who says what it was with this wife? Demalai havale b'nei. The su, v'may dehocha havalehu, v'sliku. Who says that these children, even if they were born in Bavel, and then v'sliku came to Eretz Yisrael, d'lam mahasim havu. They were there a long time, as we just described. So we still haven't proven that mamzerim arrived in Eretz Yisrael. Elma, hocha, the proof is from this pasuk. Ve'elo ha'oilu metel melech tel chashin. Kruv Adam. Ve'lo yuchlo lahagid beis avoysam v'zaram. These people that came from these areas weren't able to adequately say who their parents were in Mizrahim. So as the Mefarshim explained, we really aren't aware of a place called tel melech or tel chasha. So there must be some deeper pshat here. Tel melech, it must be people who acted like the people of Sodom. That we know Sodom was turned over to salt. What does it mean that they acted like the people of Sodom? So Tupshat. Rashi says, quotes of Gemara Masechta Sanhedrin, that in Sodom they had a very unacceptable minig. He says, in Sodom what they used to do was as follows. If somebody were to wound a woman who was pregnant, and because of that the child, the fetus, would die, he would take the woman home, and to make up the loss, he would make her pregnant. So obviously that child would be a mamzer. Or another pshat, as we know, the pasuk says, when the people of Sodom approached Lot's house, and Rashi says, Mishkav Zachar. So you know that Sodom was a place of terrible Giloy Arayis, which turned into a Tel Melech. We know that Sodom was totally turned over. Others say that's referring to the wife of Lot that we know turned into a tel melech. Tel charsha. What does tel charsha mean? Zeh shekara abba. That's if the child calls the person who he thinks is his father. V'ima mishat ksay. Cheresh, be quiet. So obviously there was nus. V'la yuchlu lahagid beis avoysam v'zara. Im Yisrael heim. Zora sufi shenasek minashuk. They couldn't say who the father was. And others say v'zara im Yisrael. They couldn't tell who the father was, who the mother was. Kruv Adam. V'omar. Omer Rebavua. Omer Adam. Ani amart Yisrael. Lefanai chshuvim kekruv. I said the Klai Yisrael should be to me like the kruvim. V'heim soma atzmam kenemar, and they've acted like the leopard. What does this mean? So Mepharshim explained, we know that on top of the Oren were the kruvim. They looked like young children. And the Pasuk says, v'ni adati l'chasham, that from that spot is where the Shechina spoke to Klai Yisrael. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Klai Yisrael, you are the place where I rest my Shechina. And they, instead of living up to that very high madrega, acted like a nemer. What does a nemer mean? We know a nemer is a leopard. We say, the first sif in Shulchan Aruch, it says in Pirkei Avos, Havi oz kenemer. Oz, azus. A leopard is known for its azus. As we're going to learn in the Gemara, mamzerim typically have that trait of having azus. So if they act like a nemer, like a leopard, they very likely are mamzerim. Another pshat is that a leopard is the product of two different species. So he's like a mamzer, and they acted like a mamzer. Ikadamri, just the opposite. Amravu, Amra Odin. Afa pisha, Sama Atzma Kenemar. Even though they're acting like this leopard, hein cheshuvim melefon like a kruv. I still consider them like a kruv. So I saw the Mepharshim explain a beautiful pshat. Kruv, as I said a moment ago, represents looked like young children. What was HaKadosh Baruch Hu saying? Even though they acted very inappropriately, they did terrible averis, I'm going to judge them like they were young children. We've said so many times that a child is not considered a bar das. I'm going to not fault them for what they're doing as if they didn't have proper das when they did that avera. Omer Rabba Bachana, Kol Hanoisi Ishish Enoi Genes Loi. If somebody marries a wife who is inappropriate to him, and most Mepharshim explained that it's talking about a case where the wife is a woman who he's not supposed to marry, la halacha, all of a kosov, kilchor shel kol olam kulay. It's as if he plowed up the whole world, the zora melech, shenema v'olu ha'olam etel melech, tel charsha. And as the morale explains here too, the purpose of getting married is to have children. So where could good children be created from? Good children could be created from a couple that's properly married. But if this couple is not married, it's not a couple that's a marriage that the halacha wants, so then the children either won't be the kind of children that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. Omer Rabba Bar Rav Ada Omer Rav. Kol Anoisi Ish L'Shamamin. If somebody marries a wife just because she should be able to get married, have money, have a banim she'enem huganim, has children that aren't the way they're supposed to be. Shnemar, Hashem Bogdu, they rebel against HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kibonim Zorim Yuladu. They have children that are foreign. So most Rishonim explain that the Gemara here, when it says, Kol Anoisi Ish L'Shamumen, is referring to a situation where the wife is a woman that he shouldn't marry, La'alocha. And he still goes and marries her, just because she comes with money, and then he has children that are not haigunim. But what would be the halacha if the woman is a woman that halachically she's acceptable, but she happens to be wealthy, and he's looking for a woman with money? What's the din then? So it's actually, at least the way the Gra understands it, the subject of a machloikis between the Orchis Chaim and the Rivash. The Orchis Chaim says that if somebody, when he's looking for a shidduch, is looking for money, even if there's no yichus issue with the wife, is in this category. That's how the Orchis Chaim learns. The Rivash says that no, if she's halachically acceptable to him, the fact that he's looking for money is not an issue. And Ramah quotes the Rivash, the Orchis Shulchan quotes the Rivash. But as I said, the Gra understands the Arches Chaim and the Rivash to disagree. The Chalkas Machaikik says that not disagreeing. He says, what is the case? He says, if somebody is looking for a wife with money so he can learn, and she's halachically acceptable to him, there's no problem. But if he makes that the only thing that he's looking for, or if he's promised money, and then his father-in-law can't give him the money that he was promised, and he says, then I won't marry the woman, then it's unacceptable. As you perhaps say that if he marries such a woman, at least he'll have the money. All of their portion will be eaten up. Maybe only his portion, but not her portion. And the Mefarshim express, why would we think that his portion should be more affected than her portion? So I saw a number of shot. One shot is, she actually did well. She's a woman that he shouldn't have married, and she got a husband that's above her status. So she didn't do anything wrong. He's the one that did something wrong. Or another pshat is as follows. This money is money that was in her family. So taking away money that she had all along is much more of a punishment than taking away money that was really never his and should have never been his. So maybe we would think that she should not lose the money. Tamaloymer chalkehen. They'll both lose the money. Shematayma, they'll lose the money lizman meruba, after a long time. Tamaloymer chaydish, within a month. My mashma, Amrav Nachman v'Yitzchak, chaydish nechnes v'chaydish yatza, within a month, m'mayinim avad, they'll lose their money. So Mefarshim, I saw a beautiful verse from the Pnei Yeshua. Pnei Yeshua explains the Gemara this way. He says, this person who married a woman for money, he's starting off without money, or he's starting off with not that much money, and his assumption is that by getting married, he'll end up with a lot of money. It's like the moon. But what's going to be? The beginning of the month, the moon is very slow, small. Then the moon grows. This person also believes he started off with no money, and then the moon grows. But just like after the moon grows, the second half of the month, the moon is left. The moon gets small. Here too, he'll get the money, but he'll quickly lose the money by the end of the month. The Maral explains why is such a person not going to have banim uhuganim, worthy children. So Maral explains that there are two partners that are involved in the creation of a child, a husband and a wife. That's the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world. And when a husband and a wife come together, they'll have fine children. But if they bring into the marriage a third partner, the money, that's not the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted the world to be created and the world to go, and that's why they won't have children that are hagunim. Another pshat is, as we know, kol ahava Hatluy Bedover, for there to be a successful marriage, there has to be a have in the marriage. So a have that's ain't a Tluy Bedover, that's a pure have, has a kiyum. But a have that's ain't a Tluy, that's Tluy Bedover, that's Tluy in the money, is Batla Dover, Batla Hava. Here the whole have, the whole marriage is based on money. Again, if somebody marries a woman who is not the woman type of woman he should marry, Elio ties him up. So Mefarshim ask, who and why Eliyahu? So some Mefarshim say Elio here means Elio Hanavi. And why is it Elio Hanavi? Because we know, as the pasuk says, that what will be one of Elio's jobs, the Heshev Leibonim al Avoisam, Leavois Abonim, he's supposed to reconnect families, and here the families won't be the kind of families that we want to have. Another pshat is that we know that Elio Hanavi attends every bris, Mila. What happens at a bris Mila? The Ola, the Eina Hagunim, the Ra, is separated from the child. This person, not only did he not separate himself from the Ra, he's connecting himself to something unworthy. And therefore, he deserves a punishment. Others say, as we know the Gemara says, the Medrash says, Eliyahu ze Pinchas. And we find in the Torah already that Pinchas is the one that was Mekane. He was the one that killed Zimri ben Solo and Shimi ben Gera. That he's the one that always takes a strong position regarding those that act inappropriately in the union of Gilui Arayos. Or, another pshat, we know that the Medrash says that the Shvatim were Mevaza, embarrassed Pinchas. Reisim ben Puti Zeh, Shepitim Aviyavai, Avod Aviyimai, Agolos Lavodizora. They said his grandfather was a Galach. So he knows what it means to come from a family that's Eina Hogan, and that's why he takes a special interest in such a family. V'kodesh Baruch Hu Roitzai. So Pashup Shat, Roitzai, he gives him Malchus. But I saw from the Kliyok a very nice pshat. We know, we discussed already, that if an Eved Ivri is sold, and after 6 years he's supposed to go free, he then says, you know what, I have to Adonis Ishti, I love my master, I love my wife, Lo Yetzi Chavshi, I don't want to go free. V'lokach Adonov, Oznoi, he takes him, and he makes an ear in his hole, a hole in his ear. Why? Oizen Zu, Rashi says, Sheshamal Ar Sinai, that heard on Ar Sinai, Kli Avodim, and took an Eved for himself. Here too, this person who marries a woman who is not Hogan Loi is like that Eved who wants to remain with the Shifcha Kananis instead of marrying a proper Jewish woman. So he deserves Ritzia just like that Eved Ivri deserves. The Tana Kulam, Eliyahu Kaiser, regarding all these people, Eliyahu writes, that Kadosh Baruch Hu Kaiser and Kadosh Baruch Hu signs, Oiloi Lepaisa Lazaroi, somebody who disqualifies his children, Lepaigim Es Mishpachto, he brings disgrace to his family, Ulanoisi Isha Shena Gunasla, Eliyahu Kaifsai, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Paislai, V'kol HaPasol, any person who he himself disqualified, Pasol, a disqualified person is of the character that he will speak bad of others. He's used to having problems, and he tries to find fault with everyone else. Vamashmul, the Mumma Paisel. Not only does he say bad about others, but he usually tries to reflect his own issues, saying that they have it. And the Gemara quotes a story to reflect this concept. Says the Gemara, who gathered them in Hador? There was an individual from Hador, the Alabaymet Bechai, that came to the butcher shop in Pumbedisa. Amalu, and he told the shopkeeper, Havli Bisra, give me meat. Amr later, they told him, the tar, wait at the shokel of Shamed Rav Yecheskel, until we first serve the Shamis of Rav Yehuda by Yecheskel, the Nesav Loch, and then we'll serve you. Farshim discuss, some say that it doesn't make sense that the Shamis of Rav Yehuda came first. Because then if he came first, certainly while we want to say that he should get served first. So some of Farshim say, the number of pshat I saw. One pshat is that they came at the same time. And if they come at the same time, then the Talmud Chacham should be served first. Others say that he came and he said that my Rebbe, Rebbe Yehuda, needs this meat immediately because he's weak. And he said, I don't care, as we'll see. Another pshat is, as we'll see also in the Gemara, this person considered himself a Kayin, but he was an Amoritz. And he thought that since he's a Kayin, he should get served before the Talmud Chacham. But the halach is that a Talmud Chacham, even a Mamzer, is supposed to be served before the Kayin, who's an Amoritz. And that's what he said inappropriately. Omar, Man Yehuda ben Shviskel. Who's this Yehuda Shviskel? He said he's a Gargarin, a person that loves to eat, the Kodimli, the Shokum Kamoy, that he should be served first. Also, Amr Leila Yehuda. So they repeated this episode to Rabbi Yehuda. And the Farshim ask, isn't it Lashon Hara to repeat it to Rabbi Yehuda? So some of Farshim suggest that since this incident happened in public, so everybody was aware of the incident, it's not Lashon Hara. Another pshat is that since here there's an issue of Kavod HaTorah, Rabbi Yehuda was the great Talmud Chacham, and he spoke disparagingly about this great Talmud Chacham. So there's an issue of Kavod HaTorah that has to be reported and has to be dealt with. And indeed, Shamtei. Rabbi Yehuda put him into Cheirim. Amru, and then they repeated to Rabbi Yehuda, Rogel the Kari Inshi Avdi. this individual calls everybody a slave. Achuzalei, so Yehuda said regarding him, Da'avdahu, he himself must be a slave. Amrlei, Ozlo Amrlei, Ozahu, so this individual now was upset that Rav Yehuda called him an Eved. Asmenei Ladina, Lekamid Rav Nachman. So he summoned him to a dintar by Rav Nachman. Aisa Piska de Hasmana, so Rav Yehuda received the summons. Ozah Rav Yehuda Lekamid Rav Huna. Rav Yehuda came to ask Rav Huna, Amalei Ezel Olay Ezel, should I or shouldn't I go to the dintar? For as Mepharshim explained, if it was a dintar by Mominus, so then it doesn't make a difference about a financial issue, it makes a difference if I'm a Talmud Chacham or not. I'm summoned, I have to go. Here was an issue about honor, and there was an issue of Kavod HaTorah, and Rabbi Yehuda was a great Talmud Chacham, maybe he doesn't have to go. Furthermore, some of Farshim suggest that Rav Nachman did not even live in the same city as Rav Yehuda. So Rav Nachman said, do I have to travel to that Bezdin in another city? So he went to ask Rav Huna his advice. Amalei, Rav Huna told him, you really don't have to go. Mishum de gavur rabat. You're a great person. You don't have to belittle yourself to go. Ella mishum yakur de bein asiya, because of the honor of the home of the nasi kumzil. Given that Rav Nachman was a son-in-law of the Resh Galusa, it's appropriate that you show him honor. Or some of Farshim explains, since the Resh Galusa had appointed Rav Nachman to be the Rosh Bezdin, it's important that you show him the proper honor. Also, Ashkechei the Kavod Makam. So, Rabbi Yehuda comes to Rav Nachman's home, and he sees that he's making a fence around his roof. Omalei leisavol amar, lahod amar Rav Huna bar Idi amar Shmuel. Don't you know what Rav Huna bar Idi said in the name of Shmuel? The kimish nismana odom panis in the tzibur. When a person is appointed to a high position, also basis b'vnoch v'fnei shloisha, he's not allowed to do any work in front of three individuals. And the machlokes was showing him why. Some say it's disparaging to the individual that an important person works in public. Others say it's a bizarre to the tzibur that they have their Rosh Bezdin, their important leader, working. What would be the nafkamina if he's allowed to work betzina, where it's not seen? If it's an issue of kavod tzibur, so betzina it's not an issue. If it's an issue of kavod of the Talmud Chacham, then even betzina he shouldn't do the work. Omlei porta de gudonaisu kadavidna. I'm building a fence around the roof. So first I'm saying he hasn't answered the question. He's not supposed to work, so why is he saying he's building a fence? So the Bi'ah Halacha explains the Gemara this way. Halach Lamaisa. He says, even if a Talmud Chacham is not supposed to work, and certainly not Beferesia, as here was the case, where it's obvious that what he's doing is a Dvar Mitzvah, he's allowed to do it. So here, it was obvious that he's building a fence, and we know there's a that you have to put a fence around your roof. Where it's obvious that he's doing the Dvar Mitzvah, everybody agrees that a Talmud Chacham is allowed to do it. Moreover, the Shalos Tshuvos Michas Yitzchak says, he was saying to him, I was building a fence exactly with the shear, how high the fence should be, so people should be able to learn from me the halachas of Makkah. And therefore, even though I'm working with Tzibur, it's permissible. Amalei, so he said to him, Misanya Maka Diksibaraisa, this wording that you use, Prostakugnaisa, why are you using this wording? Either use the word that the Torah uses, Maka, or Mechitza Dom Rabbonim. So the Masha explains what he was saying was to him like this. If you knew I was a Talmud Chacham, and you anyway didn't have a problem calling me to Din Torah, so speak to me with the words that the Torah uses. I'm familiar with those words. If, on the other hand, you consider me I'm a Oretz, and that's why you didn't have a problem to call me. So use the word mechitza. What are you using a word, a verbiage that nobody uses? Amalei, Yosef Mar Katifa. So again, he asked him, why don't you sit down on the bench? So again, Rev Yehuda challenges Rev Nachman. Amalei, Misani Safsal Da'am Rabbanan. Either use the wording that Rabbanan use all over for a bench, Safsal. It's the Badem Rianchi. Why are you using your own words? Amalei, Lechel Mar Esrogoyna. You should eat some esrig. Amalei hocha amishmu, kala ayim esrigoina. Whoever calls esrig esrigoina, tulsa baramas rucha. He's a third of bal gaiva. Because the Masha explains, gaiva, arrogance, can be evident in one of three ways. Dibur, maish, machshava, maisa. the way you talk, the way you think, and the way you act. Here his dibur was a dibur of a bal gaiva, so you're a third bal gaiva. Why is it considered gaiva to call it esrog gaina? So I saw a very nice pshat in the Mefarshim. The word esrog, the Mefarshim say, stands for al tevi'eni regal gaiva. Sometimes a person has a nice esrog, so you can come to gaiva. Al tevi'eni regal gaiva. The esrog shouldn't let us be bal gaiva. But that's if you call it esrog, esrog. If you call it esrog gaina, you obviously don't care about gaiva. So it's obvious that you're bal gaiva. Amlei hocha mishmul. Call Aima Esrugaina, whoever calls Esrug Esrugaina, Tulsa Baram Srucha. It's a proof that he's a third Bal Gaiva. I Esrug the Kuria Rabbanan. Either call it an Esrugaina, like the Rabbanan call it. I Esrugaina the Emery Inchi. Omle, Lishtimar and Baga. Drink this and Baga. It was a drink that they used to drink every morning by breakfast. Omle, so again he says to him, Misani Asparagus the Kai Rabbanan. Either use this word asparagus, which is what Rabbanan call it, I Ampik. You call it ampik, which is what usually people call. Omlei teisig donig tashkinen. So Farshim said what he was saying was, donig is my daughter, and we brought her up to call her, to call this drink by this name. So if I wanted to bring it, I have to use the word that she is familiar with, that she understands. Omlei hachem Shmuel. So Shmuel said, emishtam shem isha. You're not allowed to allow a woman to serve you. So he said, Ketanihi, she's still a young child. So he said, Beferish Amishmu. Shmuel said, Eimishtam Shem Isha Klal. One is not allowed to be served by an Isha. Ben Gedoyle Ben Ketana. Whether she's young or old. So Mefarshim give two reasons why. One reason is because of Hirur. Because we're concerned if you're going to see a woman, you can come to Hirur. Or another reason is because we don't want a woman to be between the men. What's the nafkamina between the two pshatim? One nafkamina is, if it's a woman that you're familiar with, a relative, a woman that she works in your home all the time. So the concern of hearer doesn't exist. The concern that we don't want women amongst the men still exists. Or another nafkamina is what melachas are not permitted. We know the Gemara Masechta Ksubos, we discussed it, identifies certain melachas cause a closeness. So if the concern is hearer, it's only those malachas. Other malachas will not be prohibited. If the concern is we don't want women amongst the men, it makes no difference what malacha. So then he says to him, Nishdalei ma'a shamal yilasa. Why don't you send a greeting to my wife? Amalei, hachi amishmul, kol bi'isha erva. I can't talk to your wife because the voice of a woman is an erva. So the Mefarshim ask, the din of kol bi'isha erva, which is interesting, is machloikus achroinim, is issa d'raisa or issa d'rabbanan, and they really connect it to machloikus rishonim. If the issa of istaklus, the issa of gazing at a woman, is an issa d'raisa or issa d'rabbanan, they say the Rambam holds it's an issa d'raisa, will hold the kol bi'isha erva is a d'raisa. Other rishonim that hold istaklus is only a d'rabbanan, will hold the kol bi'isha erva is only a d'rabbanan, is only when a woman is singing. Saying hello doesn't involve singing. So why is it considered kol bi'isha erva? So I saw a few pshatim. One pshat is that if a person so great as Rabbi Yehuda should even avoid speaking to a woman when it's not necessary. Another pshat, they used to have a special way of saying hello with a melody. The man said hello with a melody and responded with a melody. So there is an issue of kol bi'isha erva. She said, Efshal yidei shliach. You don't have to speak to her directly. You can use a shliach. Amle hacha amishmul, ain shalom b'shalom isha. One is not supposed to send shalom to a woman. So he said, ayidei bala, send this through me. I'm her husband. Amle hacha amishmul, ain shalom b'shalom isha klal. You're not allowed to speak. You're not supposed to send shalom to a woman, even through a husband. But the pais can point out that this din of Ein Shalom B'Shalom Isha, if you, I don't really have time to go into all the details, but the underlying point that the Pais can make is that you have to use Seichel, meaning as follows. Certainly if a woman says hello to you, you're supposed to say hello back. Certainly if you're a guest in someone's home, you're supposed to thank them. Here, it's speaking about a certain type of Shalom, which represents a certain level of closeness, or represented more than what had to be said. And then, Ein Shalom B'Shalom Isha, you're not supposed to have communications with a woman who's not your wife or close relative. Even though the Rishayim already asked, we know that when the Malachim came to Avram, they asked him about Sarah. I always said, Ein Shalom B'Shalom Isha. So Rishayim answer, it wasn't that they sent greetings to Sarah. What they did was they asked Avram Avinu, how is your wife Sarah? That is fine. What you're not supposed to do is send a message to a woman who's not your wife. The Pesukim also all indicate that saying good morning, saying hello, are all not in the category of Shalom B'Shalom Isha. Shalchla Devesa, so Rav Nachman's wife sends him a message, Shalchla Devesach, get over with this Rav Yehuda. Take care of whatever issue he has here. He's turning you into Amoritz. Everything you say, everything you do, he's showing is halachically unacceptable. Amalei, my shait demar hacha. So he asked him, what are you doing here? Amalei, taske des mutnus esha demar abesroi. You sent me a summons. So didn't he know he sent him a summons? So one shot is, a lot of times the bati dinim, the summons wasn't signed by the Rosh Bezdin, was signed by one of the workers there. Another shot is, the Masha says, every summons that he signed, he didn't necessarily remember. Amalei, hashta. Shoot the Maula Gemrina. I can't even understand what you're saying. Your plain speaking is so much more than what I am. Taskadam Zmnusa Sha Mishtanomar. Would I have the temerity of sending you a summons? So he took out the summons. Rev Yehuda took out the summons and showed it to Rev Nachman. Amalei. Hagavra v'hadaska. Here's the summons, and here I am. Amalei, hoil v'osam malahacha. Since you've arrived, lishtoy mili. So let me hear the case. Kehecha de lelemri mechanfi rabbanah hadadi. That people shouldn't say that the rabbanah have a deal with each other, that we cover up for each other, that we act honestly, even one rav with another rav. Amalei. So Rav Nachman asks Rav Yehuda, "My tama shamta malahu gavra. Why did you put that individual into chayrim?" So he says, "Sire shlichad rabbanon." He embarrassed the shlich the rabbanon. So he says, "V'nagde mar." So why don't you just give him malchus? Because as we know, we learned earlier in our masechta, the Ram mangid a man that tsar le shlichad rabbanon. The rab would give malchus, not chayrim. Chayim is a much more serious punishment. So he said, the of the minei avdilei. So the way most mepharshim explain, he says, I saw under these circumstances that he deserved more than just malchus. He deserved the chayim. Why? Because he did it in public. And to do it in public is much more of an insult, and therefore he deserved the chayim. So he says, my tama achriz marale de avdahu. Why did you pronounce him an Evid? Amalei, the Rogel the Kari Inshi Avdi. He has the custom of calling people an Evid. The Tani, and we learned on Amun Aleph, Kol HaPaisel Pasel, V'Eina Medaba B'Shivcha V'Olam, that somebody who he himself is disqualified, calls other people disqualified, never says anything nice about other people, V'Amishmul, and as we learned, B'Muma Paisel. If he calls other people an Evid, that must be that he himself is an Evid. So he says, so Rav Nachman asks him, Eimed Amish Shmuel, when did Shmuel say this? L'meichashlei, that we have to be concerned that if we see a person has this trait, that he's calling everybody this name, he has this issue. But L'achruzialei, to know definitively, mi Omar, Omar, ad hachi v'hachi. So while they're in the middle of these deliberations, comes this individual and says to Rav Yehuda, you're calling me an Evid? I'm a descendant of the Chashmonaim, and we know the Chashmonaim were Kohanim. Amalei, so he said to him, so Rav Yehuda says to this individual, you just proved that I'm right. Because the Shmuel would say, "Call the Amim b'Beis Shmuel called the Amad Beis Chashmonai Kasina. Whoever sells on himself that he's a descendant of the Chashmonai, Avdahu. It's a proof that he's an Eved. Because what happened was, this is in a summary, what the Rishayim explained. The Chashmonaim, after they prevailed, took the Malucha for themselves, which was wrong. Because as Yaakov Avinu says, Layasur Shevet Me Yehuda. The Malucha, the monarchy, belongs to Yehuda. And they were punished that Hurdis killed them all out. But Hurdis, who was really an Eved, wanted to take over the Malucha and wanted to call himself a Chashmonai. So whoever, and so he called himself, he's now the Chashmonaim. So whoever called himself a Kayin or Chashmonai actually comes from Hurdis, who is an Eved. I asked the Rishonim, we just learned the Sugya at the end of the previous parak, that Eved Haba Bas Yisrael, whoever Eved has relations with Bas Yisrael, the child is Yisrael, not an Eved. So why are we concerned? So Mefarshim explained that no Jewish woman would want to marry Hurdis. The Jewish woman refused to marry. They're not going to marry an Eved. Or other Rishonim say that Hurdis himself did tshuva. And since he knew that he, as an Eved, is not supposed to marry a Jewish woman, all of his children were children that he married either Shifcha or a non-Jewish woman, and therefore were Avodim. I, the Mefarshim, ask, after all these generations, they must have been mafker, they must have given up the Avdus. He was the king. And it's all these generations that they don't have ownership of him, so they gave it up. So some say there were people that were owners of Hurdis. It's a large family, the Chashmonai, that never gave up the Yarshim, never gave up. We don't give up our ownership. Others say that there were maybe children don't have the ability to give up. Others say it's Yishloi Medas, we'll discuss it in Masech de Baba Kama. Others say, we're going to learn it in a couple of days, there's a concept that Eved is not freedom risk writing Mishtar Shechur. Nobody ever wrote Hurdis Mishtar Shechur. So if you're saying you're from Beis Chashmonai, you've really just proven that you're an Eved. Amalei, like Savol Amal, Lahod Amar Rav Avu, Amar Rav Huna Merav, Kol Tamid Chacham Shemar HaLocha Bo. If a Tamid Chacham quotes a psak, Im Kai Demais Amra, if he says it when it wasn't relevant to a Din Torah, Shemalai. V'mlav Ein Shemalai. So you're saying this statement of Shmuel, that whoever says that he's from Beis Chashmonai is an Eved, because it's relevant to this Din Torah. It's too late to say it. As Machlokes Rishonim, how we apply this din. Some say that as if it's relevant to one of the baladinim, if it's relevant to one of the litigants, then they can't say it. But if it's not relevant to him, even though it's the middle of a din Torah, he can't say it. Others say that even if it isn't specifically relevant to one of the litigants, the people who are attending the din Torah can't come up with the halacha now, something that we never heard previously. Amalei, hayikra ramasna the kai kavasei. Ramasna, who has no connection to this din Torah, also knows that this is what Shmuel said. Says the Gemara, a fantastic story. Rav Masna lechazila nador tleis hishena. For 13 years, Rav Masna had not been in Ador. Hahu yoyma osa. That day he shows up. Amalei, dochamai. So Rav Yehuda says to him, do you remember, my Am Shmuel, what Shmuel said, ki koi chadakar aguda, when one foot was on the beach, v'chadakar memavra. Either some say it was on the bridge, others say it was on the ferry. And the Michtam Eliyahu explains, the Gemara is teaching us how the human mind works. One of the ways to remember something is by framing it where you were when you heard it. Amalei, so Master said, certainly, Amar Shmuel, called Amar Beis Chashmonai Malka Kasina, whoever claims that he's a descendant of Chashmonai, Abduhu, must be an Eved. There was only this one young girl from the Chashmonai that Hurdis did not kill. The Salka Ligur, she went up to the roof, V'ram Yekoyla, and she announced, V'omra, called Amar Beis Chashmonai Avda, whoever says he's a descendant of Chashmonai must be an Eved, Nafla Me'igra, Umesa. She committed suicide. Why? Because she knew Hurdis wanted to marry her. Like that, he'll have children that are truly from the Beis Chashmonai, and she didn't want him to let him have that. Achusalei, Avdahu. So they announced that this individual must be Takan Eved. Says the Gemara, who yoimah that day, Akun kamik subas min adah. Many subas were ripped up in an adah because people got married to women under the assumption that they were from the base chashmonai, that they were miyuchasais, and they were really avadim. Kikon nafik. So as Rabbi Yehuda's leaving town, nafik abasrei lemirgamei. They wanted to throw stones at him. You ruined the entire situation in the city. Amalei. So he told them, ishtik ishtik. If you remain silent, fine. V'mla maglin achala hadam shmul. If not, I'll tell you something else. Tat is Reyes Ikim Nador. The two families in the Hador. Chada Mikra de Beyoina. One is called the family of a Yoina. The Dov. The Chada Mikra de Beyoina is a raven. The Simonach Tomei Tomei Tar Tar. So I'm going to announce this. So the Farshim says, so he did announce it. So some of Farshim say that he didn't announce it. The Gemara, when the Gemara was written by Ravina of Ashi, the Gemara, they inserted it. Others say, he says that these are the two families, but he didn't say who was who. So if you want, I'll tell you who was who. So they saw that he could get them into big trouble. So what they did was, Shajilahu Rigma Meidayu, they all threw the stones into the river, the Atma bin Nahar Malka, and it clogged up the river. Machus of Yehuda bin Bumadisa. So Yehuda announced the Pradisa, Oda v'yoynes Avdi, these family are Avodim, Yehuda bar Papa Mamzerim, Bati Batuvia Baramas Rucha Loshokal Gita de Kharusa, because he was so arrogant, he refused to take Ishtar Shikr. And as the Chazanish explains, here Rabbi Yehuda saw the repercussions of making these announcements. So why is he making these announcements in Pumbedisa? The Farshim say he was the Rav. The Chazanish says he was the Rav of Pumbedisa. And where somebody is the Rav, he has the obligation to do what's right. And in Hador, he didn't have the same obligation. And similarly, Machus Rav of Mechuzah, Beloy de noy tloy, Meloy zage kulam of some. All of these family are disqualified. Amar Yehuda, Gvoy gvnoy durnisa, Dara are all Nesinoy, all families of Nesinim. Amar Yosef, Haibe kube unto Pumbedisa, all the people that live in that area of Pumbedisa, kulam de avdi, are all avodim. Amar Rav Yehuda Mishmul, Avameis avodim, Vamele aboa alf avodim, in the 400 or 4,000 avodim, Hoyle, the Pashch ben Emer. Pashch ben Emer had the Kulam Nitin be Kahuna. They all got mixed into the Kohanim. The Kol Koin Shesh be Azus Ponim. If we see that a Koin acts with arrogance, and El Mehem. It's a proof that they're from them. Omer Abaya, Kulan Yasva Beshur de Nador. They sit in a certain place called the Rov Nador. What point? Because you'll say that maybe they're bottle bereiv. Most of the Kohanim are kosher. But we know kol kavua, if you're sitting in a firm place, kemechza mechzadami, we can't rely on roiv. So the Gemara said here, the fact that the Kohanim have azus is a proof that they're not qualified Kohanim. However, says the Gemara, pligid Rebbe Loza, that's what disagreement with Rebbe Loza said. Dom Rebbe Loza, imra isa koin ba'azus metzach. If you see that a koin has azus, al taharach rov. That's a proof that he's a koin. Shnam chav amch kemeriv koin. Kohanim have this trait of being somewhat quarrelsome. And the morale explains because they're separate, they're different, they're higher than everyone else. Omer Reb Oven Bar of Ada, Omer Rav, Kola eat nice isha shen agunas lo, if somebody marries such a wife, Keshbarchu Masha Shkinosoi made a kola shvatim, Keshbarchu speaks about the greatness of all the shvatim, they made a lover, not about him. Shnema, shifte ka edis li Yisrael. Emam have a say edus lisrael. When are they edus lisrael? B'shan sheshiftim ka. When they're of pure lineage. Omer Rav Chama Bar Chanina. Kashbaruch Mashi Shchinasoi. When the Kashbaruch brings a Shchina, Eim Mashi Ela Mishpachos Miyuchos Shav Yisrael. All the Mishpachos would find Yichos. Shnama Be'es Hashehi Num Hashem Eyo Lekim Lekol Machish Bechos Yisrael. Lechol Yisrael Loi Nemar Elchol Mishpachos. The proper Mishpachos. Veheim Yiyu La'am. Amar Rabbi Barafuna, Sumali Yisrael Sheish Ben Yisrael Legerim. This is something that the Klais will have over Gerim. Dila Yisrael Ksiv V'Yisrael Lekem Lekim. First, Hakadosh Baruch Hu is our God. V'Hem Yiyu L'Am, as the Malbim explains, Hakadosh Baruch Hu doesn't wait to we volunteer. He brings his Shechina to us. V'Gerim Ksiv Mihu Zeh Orvis Libe L'Gashis Alay Nuam Hashem V'Yiyu L'Am. First, they have to join, and then V'Noich Eyalem Lekim. Amar Chalba. Koshim Gerim Yisrael Ksapachas. Gerim are difficult for Kaiso like a Tsaraz. Shnemar, Vinilva Ager Aleim, Vinispechu Abes Yaakov. Ksiv Hoka Vinispechu, Viksiv Hosom Leseis Ulusapachas. So the many Pshatim, the Rishonim, why are Gerim so difficult? Rashi says, because Klal Yisrael since the Gerim didn't have the proper upbringing, and Klal Yisrael learns from them. Another pshat, since they don't know how to do all the mitzvahs, so they, we have arvus, we're all connected one to another, so we're responsible if they don't follow the mitzvahs properly. Another pshat, we just learned that a Kodesh Baruch Hu puts the Shechina only in Mishpachas Miyuchasais. So these Gerim aren't Miyuchasais. Another pshat is that why the Rishonim say the why is Klal Yisrael and Golos all over the world? Because there are a certain amount of people that have to become Gerim. So we have this terrible Golos because we have to have all these Gerim join us. Another variation of this pshat, Mashiach won't come until all the people who are supposed to be Gerim will join us. And therefore, we're waiting for Mashiach because of Gerim. But the last pshat that Tosfos quotes, Rav Avram and Ager said, Punk Fakert. The Gerim are more meticulous than we are, and they make us look bad. Here, they didn't grow up as part of Klal Yisrael, and they're so meticulous. So it's a claim against us that we had this upbringing. Why don't we come and do what we're supposed to do?